PFT Media.
I feel like this song is playing a little slow. Mm. Like it's in slow motion kind of thing. So it threw me off. Hey, this is Devils Under Details, episode 8. That's right. All right, yeah. Freddie, clean it up.
Good evening.
Pedro Lima, Dan Perella, super producer Chris Crespo, Devils in the Details, broadcasting somewhat live from the beautiful media studios. Is this studio have a name, or are we just calling it Crespo Diesel Studio?
I usually call it the Crespo Diesel Studio.
The Crespo Dome? So,
special horror guest again.
Continuing the streak here. Dude, that last show was so good that I regret even talking about Ric Flair's women ability and stuff like that. All right, let's
speaking of Brides of Dracula.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk more monsters in horror story stuff.
Okay.
What decade would be, was there a decade that was like a big resurgence?
The main start of everything was, it was the 30s. Like I said, 1931, it was Dracula and Frankenstein the first year. That kicked everything off. It created everybody's careers, basically.
But Hunchback doesn't get the love that he deserves.
Hunchback was, it was important, but there was a lot of time in between then. There were a couple different horror things in between then. You had the Golem, and you had Nosferatu, and you had a lot of stuff coming in from, the German Expressionist stuff coming in, and like you had some titles, but it really didn't hit its stride until 30 in the 30s, 31, because then that spun off the whole thing, the thing that Universal is getting ready to rape soon, with Mummy and Creature of the Black Lagoon and all that stuff going forward,
and then a real monster emerged.
Is there
going to
be a modern creature? Is that the plan too?
The modern creature movie has actually been in the works longer than any other monster movie.
That's a tough sell.
There's a problem, though. The best Creature of the Black Lagoon movie that has ever been made is called Jaws.
Yes.
So
1975.
It's the same fucking movie.
Right.
And it's fucking Jaws. All right, sorry.
I got it. Give them one, and then beep the other one.
That keeps it PG-13. That's our one.
But yeah, that's been in the works for a while. It hasn't really gone anywhere beyond that. They did have a Creature of the Black Lagoon musical show at Universal Studios Hollywood.
Shut up.
Awesome.
It lasted about 2 months.
I thought you were going to say 2 hours.
It was so bad. Like, people would watch it. People at a theme park refused to watch it. It's that bad.
Wow.
Busch Gardens puts on musical shows longer than this thing.
So, 40s, Hitler comes out. He's the real monster, takes over.
That kills monster movies.
It does.
Until The Wolfman. Wolfman is basically a
German.
It's parable. It's about being a Jew and fleeing, and being cursed, with being a Jew and fleeing, Nazi occupied. Germany and that area. It's when you look for the subtext of that. Bride of Frankenstein also has a similar. That's more about being homosexual. Like, there's a lot of homosexual undertones in Bride of Frankenstein.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
There's a lot of symbolism in horror movies. If you there's a couple documentaries about it. One of the ones that I'm a big fan of is called Nightmares in Red, White, and Blue.
It's about
American horror, basically.
Okay.
And it kind of talks about like the symbolism in different horror movies. And then there's another one about slasher movies that I can't for the life of me remember.
And Murnau is homosexual too.
Who?
Yeah,
Murnau.
F.W. Murnau. Nosferatu.
Oh, okay.
The director, Nosferatu. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's don't definitely...
do that inside talk kind of shit.
He said the name a couple of times already.
That was two weeks.
2 weeks.
Sorry.
Can't retain this stuff.
So yeah, there's definitely a lot of symbolism, especially in that area. Like I said, Wolfman is the one that kind of hammers the point home.
Yeah.
That really does kind of kill us. Like, why would people go to the movies? They're seeing and hearing about all these horrible atrocities that are happening. Why would you want to go and watch horror movies?
So then it cools down for a little bit.
It cools down for a little bit until,
60s.
Actually around the 50s. That's really? When okay. you, that's when it's, because around that time, the 50s is all about the Cold War. It's all about the looming terror of Russia and communism and all these things. So then you have movies like The Invasion of the Body Snatchers and
The Thing from Another World.
Think for Another World. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you have all these where it's all about the villain could be among us. The villain, and then you also have the popular the true villain is us. And then you have the terror of radiation. So you have movies like Them. Tarantula, giant monster movie, stuff like that.
Godzilla,
yeah.
I remember. Before, because we're gonna tap into the zombie movies around the 60s, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, like growing up in Puerto Rico, I always remember there was a killer bee movie.
Uh-huh.
There was a tarantula.
Mm-hmm.
There was like the ant movie that like the killer
them.
Ants
yeah
them.
Like
them.
There was it, that's what it was
yeah.
them? Them okay yeah. Cat People
mm-hmm.
was it yeah. Cat People
it's Hal Luton yeah
okay
yeah
so I remember there was a phase of there's a lot of animals out there they're just
destroying
well, destroying Cat People is also a little bit more towards like a werewolf kind of movie and it's a really like it's very German and expressionistic in its design.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
very sexual.
Yeah, when they started shitting on their chest, I'm like, yeah, I don't get this thing. It's too German. It's very too German on me, these cats.
I missed that. That guy didn't do an Abbott and Costello meets the cat people.
Chick, she's kneeling down, Chick. Oh, he sprayed me.
What's the matter with you? Don't you know to put down litter?
There's a cat. So, I did that. Did I ever tell you? I did Costello's the
fat one.
The fat one, yeah. And my one audition for a commercial.
Oh, yeah?
I did it, yeah. I did. And like, yeah, I got a call back.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Which I was, when the lady called me, I was like, for real? All right. Okay.
It's actually funny you guys mentioned Abbott and Costello because they really...
Met the mummy.
They met the mummy, they met Frankenstein, they met the Invisible Man. They honestly both brought back horror and killed horror at the same time. Because they brought back Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein. Personally, I think the greatest Universal Monster movie ever made is Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein.
Okay.
It's got everybody in it. They're at the top of their game. You brought everybody back, but brought all the makeup people back. Sets are still, it's fantastic. It's an excellent movie. But when they did that, when they brought it back, it lightened everything up. And the reason for that is they made all these monster movies. And then a couple years later, TV comes up and then they're like, oh God, we have to fill these blocks. What do we do? While Universal took all their monster movies, put them in a package, and sold them off to different TV studios, and they created horror hosts. They had creature features, and they would do these big things like every Saturday night. They would show Universal monster movies, so you had kids growing up scared out of their wits watching these movies, and they had to lighten the movies up. You'd see over time the monster movies start to get a little lighter because it's the kids coming for it.
Yeah.
The good news is...
Count Chocula comes out of this.
Yeah, Count Chocula comes out of this. Monsters, Addams Family, all that. Scooby-Doo, all that stuff comes out of this. The good news is, and we'll catch up onto it later, is the kids that were watching those movies were Tom Savini, Greg Nicotero, John Carpenter, Joe Dante, Wes Craven, Stephen King. Like, all of these seminal masters of horror watched and were scared out of their minds watching these monster movies,
traumatized.
Hidden behind a couch.
Traumatized.
Exactly. Being locked in a room by their older brother and forced to watch these movies. And they become masters of horror.
See what's see millennials? It's not bad right. to be a little traumatized. Well, no,
you gotta get poked a little bit.
How you gotta get bullied. Yeah. Yeah. We wouldn't be sitting around this table if everyone's like if everyone cared about our feelings.
Yeah. There'd be nothing. It's like, oh, we saw this great movie. It was so scary. The kid, he didn't get to participate. What?
Whoa. No. No.
You mean Rudy?
Sometimes not everyone gets a trophy.
What? Not my kid.
Non-participation coming this fall. But the item was limited. You had to be the first in line.
I'm going to write a Yelp review.
Will she get downvoted? Reddit, the movie.
My brother tried. We got into an argument today, you know how you can't say stuff around me, and me not fact checking it.
Yeah,
like if you say something ridiculous, I'm right. like, where are you getting this stuff?
Right.
That makes no. Do you no, just say
it's
things?
True, man. No, I read it on BuzzFeed.
No, 4chan.
Ah,
he,
that nugget.
He quoted. He goes. I give in.
What? Wait a second. He gives in on the
on the troll center.
The digital version of the Library of Alexandria.
Yes. Okay. You win this one. And then later on, he texts me. Look, I finally say it's too late. You tapped out.
No, you're done.
You're done. I don't believe anything you say.
It's that's double jeopardy.
Okay,
illegal.
So monster movie come out. They start. They water them down.
Yeah.
To an extent,
and then it turns into the Red Scare. You know, 1950s radiation. The real villain is man, kind of thing. Yeah.
And then zombie movies come out.
Well, before we have that,
okay,
we've got before we go on to that, I kind of want to mention one of my personal favorite heroes, William Castle. William Castle is a schlockmeister. He's a schlockauteur.
What's that mean?
He's like the king of spinning everything and adding as much pizzazz as he possibly can. Okay. Remember the movie The 13 Ghosts? They remade it. But
okay. Original, I remember the remake with Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub F. Murray Abraham. Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Still to this day really like that movie. And because of those movies, I found out about William Castle. Well, what he would do is he would basically, around this time, movies were regional. They would basically, you take a print of a movie and then it would just kind of pepper it through the town and you would kind of cross the United States, town by town, going, you know, and heading around the entire country. What he would do is he would send people for different movies. One of the things that he would do is he would hire actors to go to the town a week ahead of time, go to the next town. And talk about, oh, this movie's disgusting. I can't believe people are watching this. It's just, it's degrading. It's deplorable. All this different stuff. And the movie would show up a week later, and everyone's like, hey, that's the movie those two guys were talking about. We got to go see this. So he would employ those kind of tactics.
That's old school hucksterism.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. And then for 13 Ghosts, he would give you this card. And there were parts of the movie that were only filmed in red or blue. And so the only way you could see the ghosts is if you look through the red part. So he would give you a card. You could only see, and if you were a scaredy cat, you wouldn't look through the card and you couldn't see anything. But if you were truly up for it and you had the medal, you could watch through the red part.
Wait. This is 19 white?
This started around the 50s because he's got a couple of different movies. He's got.
Hold up. Because I'm putting myself there. I'm watching the movie. There has to be some type of. Like outline there that you could still watch it, but if you want to watch it, like
if you want to see it, like full on, like yeah, it,
full
it,
on, okay.
And that's kind of the thing is these were great ideas, but like if you really thought about it, it didn't really work out. Like there's a part in House on Haunted Hill where the skeleton comes out, and you know, and Vincent Price is controlling the skeleton, which House on Haunted Hill is still my go-to Halloween movie. The original,
oh, yeah, it's
the greatest movie to watch on Halloween. When that would pop up, when the skeleton would pop up, they would have a skeleton that would go from the screen all the way to the other side of the theater, hover over the guests. The problem is, it's hanging on string. So if it would go down and get stuck, people would, they would go to the first showing, freak out, oh my God, there's a skeleton. The next showing, they'd be like, ah, there's a skeleton come up, watch what I do now. And then the skeleton comes over and they start throwing popcorn at it and trying to knock the skeleton. So they would see through it and then start messing with it.
Yeah.
For the Tingler, it was about this creature that when you would, when you were afraid, the Tingler would crawl up your back and crawl inside of you. The only way to stop the Tingler was to scream, so the entire theater had to scream. And there's a part of the movie where the lights go down, and you hear Vincent Price, the Tingler is loose in the theater, everybody scream! And the entire people are screaming, and on the track of the movie, you hear the fake audience screaming, oh my God, it's on my leg, it's touched me! Some theaters had these little surplus army motors that when that scene would pop up, somebody in the director booth would hit a button, and it would go under the chair and scare the crap out of people.
Vibrate the chairs.
And it's just scare everybody.
Oh, that's dope.
I love talking about William Castle because every time I do, people are like, ooh. He's awesome. There's
no, that's some dope ass.
Yeah.
It's like the Muppet movie ride.
And he really kind of, he built this whole, this hullabaloo, this, it's, oh, what did he call it? Ballyhoo. He created Ballyhoo for the
movie. There's make
a documentary called Ballyhoo.
Did they make a movie about him?
They did, actually. There's a movie called Matinee. With John Goodman.
The John Goodman one. Yeah. They filmed it here.
It's basically Joe Dante's love letter to William Castle.
Okay.
Yeah. So all the tactics they use in Matinee for Mant, the movie that he made, I think it's called Mant, in the movie within a movie. It's all about William Castle.
Okay.
That part kind of comes in right before horror takes a hugely dark turn. Because around the 60s, things are starting to ramp up. Things are starting to get really dark, because in 1959, there's a movie called Peeping Tom. It's a British movie. It's a British slasher movie, and it's rough. It's about a guy with a director, and he would kill women with his tripod. One of the legs of the tripod has a knife on it, so he would zoom in on their faces and he would stab them and like watch their death on screen. This is 1960.
Not even the creepiest part. Then he takes the footage home and watches it. And it's, all right, so because of the time period, right? Yes, okay. The time period, they're not going to show him. If they make a movie now, they'd show him jerking off and jizzing on the screen.
Called Saw.
Right, exactly, yes. But so he's watching the footage of his of the murder he just did, and he's sitting there in the chair, and he's like getting all agitated. He's moving around. And then when the actual murder happens, he stands up in his chair like super erect, just stands up straight. And then when the murder is over, he flops back down the chair.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it's very, and it's actually, I guess, is what you would call, would you call it the first slasher film? It's like proto slasher
film. Without a doubt.
I was about to say, that was, because I was, the way that I was thinking is, okay, we got the monster movies. Here comes the zombie movies, and then the slasher films come up. But this Peeping Tom guy.
Yeah, it's right.
It even opens with a first person POV because he's a filmmaker the whole time. Yeah, it's actually set a lot of rules there that John Carpenter picked up on.
But as you can guess, that movie pissed a lot of people off, especially in England, because England, this is when they still had the film board, because they had that way into the 90s. Monsters. And we'll get into that too. I'm gonna use another one. Bastards. It did not go well. Pissed a lot of people off. Hitchcock saw it, loved it.
I completely forgot about Hitchcock.
Absolutely.
What?
Loved it.
Uh-huh.
So
exactly.
So what happened is when he saw Peeping Tom, he's like, I can do this. So he went and he got the rights to Psycho and created and made Psycho, which is, everybody says, oh, that's the first slasher movie ever made. No. Peeping Tom is the first slasher movie ever made. Mm-hmm. Hitchcock got the idea from that. Psycho's way better than Peeping Tom. it's Psycho changes the face of horror entirely, because from Psycho then you have Blood Feast and you have all these like gross drive-in movies, because Hollywood movies still had to pay attention to the code and all that stuff. Anybody with a camera could make something in their garage.
What was the code? The Hays code.
So you had these different like self-imposed censorship kind of things.
Okay.
But when you're doing like drive-in,
they didn't have ratings back then, right?
They did. It was approved or disapproved for the most part.
Oh,
right?
Cool.
But then you have movies that would kind of spin out of that, like Blood Feast, and you know, and later on movies like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I Spit on Your Grave, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay,
so then before Night of the Living Dead is Hitchcock?
Yes, because it's 1960 is Psycho.
So then he comes out and he got birds f***ing people up.
Mm-hmm. That's 1963.
He got Vertigo.
He got Vertigo and North by Northwest. He got all those suspenseful thrillers mixed with, of course, the slasher horrors.
Okay. Yeah, his stuff. I mean, he sticks mostly with the suspense stuff, but there's a lot of things that just go straight into horror. Like the Psycho is, it was like, oh, it's a thriller, it's suspense. No,
it's a horror film.
It's a horror film. Mm-hmm. The Birds is a horror
film. The Birds. I remember watching The Birds and be like, yo, this movie.
The Birds, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Love that movie.
So then you have the 60s, and you've got, like I said, you have a lot of people who are kind of really pushing it really far. You know, you've got Blood Feast, 2000 Maniacs, all that Herschel Gordon Lewis stuff, which I personally can't stand. And then 1968, you have Night of the Living Dead.
Yes.
That's where
that changed. That's blue the collar game changer.
Monster movie. Yeah. Yeah.
Because he did that. That was like a, was that like a student film kind of thing? Or like a, was that just low budget?
It was a low budget thing. Okay. It was a way for, because he had, it was him and his friends who, you know, they had, it was an acting troupe. They all made corporate films. Like they would make like, you know, here's how you use our machines, and they would basically in Pittsburgh they would make all the different films and all the different
don't lose manuals. Your hand in the saw.
Exactly. Stuff like that. So they made all those really technical movies, which is why when you watch Romero's movies, it's very technical. It's lock the camera off, we're gonna do a gag, and then, you know, pick it up, keep moving. Like there's not a whole lot of Dutch angles. There's not a lot of American Horror Story shots in these movies. It's just like, you see what's happening? Good. Moving on. Which is why they work.
It's nice when you see things on screen.
So, yeah, exactly. So Living Dead is 68. Takes off. It's popular.
Does really well, yeah.
But they don't have like a sequel right away. Sequels became like more towards Cocaine 80s, which is...
Well, they had... Cause
no, I'm back, sorry. That's
like, stepping back, like Universal, because you had Dracula, you had Son of Dracula, and you had the Daughter of Dracula, and you had Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, Son of
the Abbott and Costello stuff. The first connected universe.
Exactly. It really is. So they would constantly churn out all these different things, which is actually funny because I was watching one of those Screen Junkies things, and like, what movie would you get rid of? And like, Jaws 2. It ruined movies, and it created the summer sequel. It's like, do you not remember what happened in the 30s?
Yeah, when people complain about remakes, I like to tell them, did you know the Maltese Falcon was made three times in a span of 10 years?
Right.
And the one everyone remembers is the third one.
Right. Wizard of Oz. The third one.
Yes.
How many Thin Man movies were there?
Right.
You know, it just...
Well, wait, to be fair, they can make as many Thin Man movies as they want. They're fantastic. I have
no problem with Thin
Wizard
Man
of
movies.
Oz got remade through...
Yeah, that's not the original one.
Really?
Yeah. Second or third, but yeah.
Was the first two like very dark?
The one was silent.
It was silent. Oh, but a big thing was they, first off, Hollywood just remade all their silent movies. Once they got sound, like, all right, well, let's just go back and read.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. The sets are still here. We might as well.
Yeah, people would be like, I wonder what, you know, this sound it would... Yeah, no, that kind of makes sense.
Yep.
Kind of thing. So was 70s more like a lot of slasher movies kind of thing?
Well, before we get into slashers from the 70s, because that doesn't really start taking off until like 74.
Okay.
Before then, same year of Night of the Living Dead, you have Rosemary's Baby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
So we're getting to a lot of demon stuff going on in the 70s.
Around this time.
I like these.
Cult kind of thing.
See, that's another, to lose some of my horror credentials. I've never seen Rosemary's Baby all the way through. Never seen The Exorcist all the way through.
Oh.
I'm not Catholic. I don't give a damn.
Okay, here's the thing. I've seen The Exorcist in English and Spanish.
The Spanish one.
So wait, for the Spanish version, just like they get through a line and go, oh, Dios mío, and they just freak out the whole damn time?
Dude, it's just as scary.
Yeah.
But I remember when I was in New York when they re-released The Exorcist, I went and saw it, and I couldn't laugh any harder than I did rewatching that movie. And I remember watching that movie as a kid, and it was like traumatizing.
Yeah,
they used to play that movie late at night and be like, you know, you get the English version, and then in Puerto Rico they'll play the Spanish version, and they'll tell you, listen, this is
it's almost like a document.
It's still a big Catholic population in Puerto Rico, right?
Yeah, and that's what made it more kind of like, you know,
like, because you're sitting with believers watching this.
Dude, people believe.
Oh, I'm sure.
People were passing out. Yeah. They were throwing up.
And yeah, I was about to say, this is the Omen time too, right?
Yeah, the Omen was 1976.
Okay.
So, was Exorcist was first, and then the Omen?
Well, actually, Rosemary's Baby was 68.
Uh-huh.
That one was first, and then your favorite, Blackula, on my list.
Blackula.
I got like a list of like seminal horror
movies with Blackula.
Of each year. Blackula's 1972.
Scream, Blackula, scream.
So, like, horror is one of those things, like, it's popular because... It's to when you mentioned, like, you saw the Spanish version of the different movies, it's popular in any language.
Yeah,
you can sell it to anyone.
And by when I say Spanish version, it's the English version, just dubbed
in Spanish. Yeah. Dubbed in unlike Spanish. Dracula, have you seen the Spanish version of Dracula?
No.
So what they did in 1931, they shot Dracula. They had all the sets.
Was that
they shot
a handsome Dracula?
And they had with Bela Lugosi and they had the American cast. They would break at like 7 o'clock. And then the Spanish actors would come in from 8 o'clock until like 4 in the morning. And then they would work on the same set and do the same scenes from that day.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah, there's a Spanish Bela Lugosi that we don't speak about?
Yeah. I have it. It's the, when they released
his name is Cesar Romero.
Yeah. Oh, was it Cesar?
Always assume it's always Cesar Romero.
One of the reasons that it's always touted, because there's people like, oh, Spanish Dracula is, it looks better. It's a much better looking movie, but not acted as well as the American. And the reason that is because the Spanish Dracula, they would come in and they would see the shots. They would see the footage from what they shot that day. Mm. They're like, oh, okay, so we'll tweak the lighting. We'll do this. And so they made the shots better.
Yeah, I mean, you get you get a first shot and be like, oh, right, we can improve this.
Or use them as a tech rehearsal kind of thing, yeah. Hmm.
See, the Americans were smart. They'll have the Spanish people do it
first. Uh-huh.
Like, we don't know what they're saying, but we can see that the lighting
is what happens when you keep everyone in the back of the line.
See?
Yeah. Whoever said Americans were smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big assumption there.
So then we come into what is often touted as the first true American slasher, like the real grisly slasher, which is Black Christmas. This is 1974, and it's one.
Yo,
it's,
you went deep.
Yeah.
You went deep into that DVD Walmart
bin. Is Black Christmas Bob Clark?
It is.
Pedro, can I throw out the fun piece of trivia here? Thank you, I appreciate it. So he did Black Christmas, which is the first grisly American slasher film,
right?
Christmas based. He did another much more seminal Christmas film that we all enjoy every year, plays for 24 hours a day every Christmas Story. Yes, yep. He's the same guy who directed Christmas Story.
Yep. I knew there was just as much sadism in that one as well.
Yes.
Fun fact also, let me check my facts before I do it. I'm reasonably certain the same guy that did The Town That Dreaded Sundown also did Porky's.
He did do
I've seen Porky's, movie,
right?
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
That would make sense too. The guy did Porky's.
Check.
That makes sense as well.
Porky's, so funny. Check. I have, like, there's tons of movies that Nick's been going in, and I'm like, yeah, just do fucking
go. No way.
Yeah.
As soon as he says Porky's, so you're like, yes.
I know Chris is like that guy from Peeping Tom. He's just getting all fucking like, tensed up.
I stood up straight.
Oh, these are my movies. Oh, where have you been?
You mentioned Bob Clark.
It just stands out to me. It's so funny. He would do that first Christmas movie, and it's just a dirty slasher.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Film.
Yeah, no, it's gross.
And then he makes the very fun, family-friendly Christmas story.
Okay, I might have this confusing with a Tales of the Crypt episode.
Okay.
The episode's called All Through the House.
Is that what it is? Yeah. But is Black Christmas similar to
that? Black Christmas is, it's sorority house where a guy's like, he's living in, like, he's in the house with him and like picking off the sorority girls one by one.
Dressed as Santa Claus?
But he's not dressed as Santa Claus, right?
I think he's just wearing the suit, but he's not like a fat guy.
Right. No, obviously a skinny dude. I don't want a fat guy murdering people. I just want the suit.
That'd be fun. Santa Claus?
Not there is Silent Night, Deadly Night. Where that's full on guy dressed as Santa. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's the word.
Maybe I'm thinking of that one.
He picks up Linnea Quigley and sticks her on a deer.
What's the Christmas movie that Mr. Frost that Arnie loved?
Jack Frost.
Jack Frost.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he takes the carrot off and sticks it between his
legs. Yeah.
Poor Shanna Elizabeth.
He loves that movie, and then he loves the other movie of I think it's Jack Frost, but it's the family version.
The Michael Keaton
Jack Frost.
Yeah. Ooh, that was a fun summer because that came out on VHS the exact same time. So you had parents coming home with different Jack Frost games. Oh,
great.
Yep.
No.
Oh, how great. Come on, kids. Say your prayers. We're going to watch this wholesome movie. Oh, my
God. Also, 1974. So 74, 75, we've got two major releases. 1974, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is still to this day, like, I watch a lot of horror movies, horror guy. That movie to this day makes me feel uneasy.
I don't think Jessica likes watching it either.
Yeah. It's just, that movie is so...
I feel itchy and gross and mm-hmm. like...
And I think it's the like you can feel the temperature kind of thing and mm-hmm. then the tension of...
That was legit too.
Dude, being hooked on a meat hook kind of thing. Yeah. Like, oh.
And it was like that shoot was hell. Like that house was... It was a Texas house. It was... A house that they rented that was just destroyed and gross.
It was,
and
it was summer.
Summer. Yeah. It was over 100 degrees in that
Black
house.
Crew had to go in the back. I mean, it was just a classic Texas house.
they had these hot studio lights on them. Like, it was just bad. Like, it was to the point where the crew and the actors wanted to absolutely murder Tobe Hooper. For years, they would refuse to be in the same room with Tobe Hooper, the director.
Yeah.
Putting them through this hell. And you can see it on the screen. Like, it's completely effective.
Yeah, they're done. It's like they're not crying because of the monsters. Like,
no.
We're going to do another take, Jessica. Yeah.
Exactly.
Stuff at Kubrick.
Yeah. Imagine with Scorsese.
Oh, God.
Yeah, let's do it again. Put it on the hook again. Take 72.
Yeah. And then see if it was George Romero. I'd be like, okay, we're going to do it once. I look good. All right, cool. Moving on.
I just got it.
Yeah. Oh, that would have loved it.
You ever wonder why George Romero and Frank Sinatra never made a film together? It would have been done in a day. That good? You happy? I'm happy. All right, let's get out of here.
Sinatra never would have went to Pittsburgh.
That's true.
1975, Jaws.
Jaws.
Greatest movie of all time. Hands down. Created the summer blockbuster.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it was,
yeah.
No, it did.
No. I get it. I mean, Jaws, I know, because October 21st, 75 is when I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you got to do school projects, you got to get, like, what was the number one movie? Mm-hmm. And that movie came out in the summer, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And October 21st is still the highest grossing movie for that week.
Yeah.
Bringing in like $1,000-something or whatever.
I mean, it's sharks, man. We love sharks. We have a whole week dedicated to them every year.
Yeah, no, but it's people are afraid of the ocean kind of thing, and it's great.
I went to a Fathom event screening of Jaws 2 years ago. Was the 2015 was the anniversary. Uh-huh. Obviously, 40th anniversary.
Yeah.
So they showed Jaws, and it was a packed theater, and there was an older woman sitting in front of me whom I was shocked, I tell you, that she had apparently not seen this movie because she was watching half of it, like, through her fingers.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And she was audibly, like, telling the people she was with, like, I can't take the tension anymore. Like, the movie was working on her still. And it was a packed theater. I think there were other people in the theater who hadn't seen it. Because the movie was working. It was still, people were still reacting to things in it, and you could feel the tension in the theater. It was a testament to it still working. Halloween, too. I saw Halloween, that's 2015 as well, and pretty full theater. People obviously hadn't seen it because they were reacting at all the jump scares. It's fun going to see those older films and see which ones still work, which ones don't. Jaws, for sure, works.
Nick was very adamant. He does not like Michael Myers.
That's correct.
We talked about it in the last episode. Yes.
More fan of Jason?
Yeah.
Out of all of them,
yeah.
Texas is by far. It's if you take like the major slashers,
mm-hmm.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, hate the rest of them. I do not like part two because it's a totally different movie.
Is part two the one that it opens up at a
radio station?
No, what's the one that opens up at a cookout, chili cookout?
It ends at a chili. Well, actually, no. Technically, I think it. I can't remember.
So this is good, and there's like a tooth on it, and he goes, "Oh no, that's corn or something."
Yeah. That is part two. Yeah,
that's part two.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because it starts with a bunch of guys getting chainsawed up as they're driving over a bridge. Because Leatherface has a corpse, like he's basically using a corpse like a puppet, and he's like chopping up their car and stuff. So that's how it starts. It's insane. Like, the movie is 100% Tobe Hooper coked out of his gourd.
Coke.
Like, Even Stephen King on the set of Maximum Overdrive watched that movie and went, dude, tone it down. It was off the charts. And not at all my cup of tea. But yeah, no, Texas Chainsaw, I would go. Leatherface is definitely my guy, then Jason, then Freddy, then Michael Myers.
Yeah, no,
I would put Freddy above Jason, personally.
I think I would go, listen, all respect for Texas Chainsaw.
Okay.
But to me, it was like that one movie.
Yeah.
Well, for most of them, it really is the one
Freddy's
movie.
Hilarious.
And then it's I diminishing love Freddy. Returns.
I like Supernatural. I'm more of a Supernatural than a slasher guy, so yeah. Freddy is more up there for me.
Freddy is two good movies and a lot of really good scenes.
Yeah.
Jason is, I would argue, three and a half legitimately good movies.
The best
I just
Jason
watched part
kill.
Six.
The best Jason kill. Go.
It's cheating, but Jason slapping the two sleeping bags together in Jason X.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Yes.
That's cheating, though. So we'll take that one
off. Why is that cheating?
What was the best Jason one?
Because they're not really dead. It was a simulation.
Oh, okay.
That scene was a simulation. Okay, so we'll take that off the table.
But
so,
it is the best one.
No. So, I got to go with Hatchet in the Face to the guy in the wheelchair as he stumbles down the stairs.
Okay.
Yeah. From part two.
Crespo, which one's
your...
I was going to go with that one.
I was going to go with that receiving bag.
I don't have enough Jason reference to actually give you a favorite now.
My favorite, and it cracks me up all day, sleeping bag against the oak tree.
Yeah.
When he takes oh my God, I never laughed so hard in my life. Like, I remember watching this. It's like, this is hilarious.
Yeah. Right.
So the Freddy movies for me was kind of scary because he was joking around it and would just like the actual fears.
Because he was enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He made a demonic Bugs Bunny.
Michael Myers didn't do it for me. It was just too straight up.
There's one really good scene in Halloween where she's standing in the upstairs and Michael Myers is in the next room. And his face just slowly comes into view.
Because she's standing right by an open doorway.
Exactly.
Looking this way, and then his face comes in from the shadows. Okay. That's one of the moments in theater where people went, oh, they screamed.
Yeah.
You know, because she's not looking. I'm like, they don't know. They haven't seen this movie that comes up.
That scene is so, that is the one thing when I think of Halloween, it's like, I hate Halloween. Except that one scene that's a really good scene. It's great. It makes but that's all that movie has.
Yes.
And I think also when you want people who really like Michael Myers were babysitters. The movie started off called The Babysitter Murders. That was the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like we want to make a babysitter killing movie. We're going to do this. It was called The Babysitter Murders. And then when they were actually selling it, they're like, we can't do that. We're releasing it. Let's call it Halloween. It takes place on Halloween. Mm-hmm. So they slapped the Halloween stuff onto it, and that's what became that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about killing babysitters. The people who are like, oh my God, Michael Myers is so scary. Or you were a kid, I was a babysitter. There you go. Of course, that's exactly why it's scary. Jaws is really scary. Why is that? I used to, hang around a beach. There you go.
What would you say, Saw be like the latest, most modern,
I like to hang around creepy basements. Oh, so Saw is scary. Right?
I would say Saw is...
I thought you were doing an Italian thing. Saw.
Oh, Saw!
Saw! Oh!
Oh!
You gotta stir it! Oh! No, Saw.
Saw. Oh, you said Saw. Oh, I'm sorry. Now, I'm gonna go back home.
I would say Saw is a war crime to make someone
a
watch.
A war crime? Really?
Saw is 100% not redeemable in any possible way.
Okay.
I think it damages horror. Personally,
yeah, because it goes straight to the.
There's nothing to it.
Yeah,
it's to use the buzzword, it's torture porn.
Yeah,
it's part of that
Hostel.
Yeah, it's
movie.
That all.
Hostel, who's that Wolf dude? Creek, who's that
Eli
dude?
Roth?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, I really like Eli Roth. Anytime he's a talking head in a documentary, I love hearing him talk because he speaks with so much enthusiasm about stuff. Mick Garris is another guy.
The Bear.
Mick
Jew.
Garris is a director.
The Bear Jew.
Yeah, you have these guys that are like really good. They know what they're talking about, but they can't make stuff.
What about The Green Inferno? Did you watch that one?
Oh, no.
No.
No desire.
No desire.
No desire.
Okay,
no.
I saw the trailer, and I was like, yo, this... Because it reminded me of the movie...
Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah, which in Puerto Rico is the other way. It's the reverse.
Right.
Holocausto y Cannibal.
Holocausto Cannibal. And I remember watching it. It's like, yo, this is, yo, I can't be.
Because it was shot like a documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are like, no, that's for real, that's for real.
And the director was brought up on murder charges for that movie.
Yeah. Was he for real?
Yeah, the Italian.
John Landis?
No, that guy. No, not
no.
Oh. No, no, he was, he was brought up for much that later. And much more deserved. Much more deserved.
I'll argue with you. I'll argue with that on that.
All right. There was
you know the John Landis
people brought him on the director of Cannibal Holocaust. They brought him up on murder charges, and he had to present the actors in court. Like, look, they are alive. It was a movie.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's happened a couple times. The guinea pig movies. Same thing. Such a series of Japanese like snuff film torture porn kind of movies.
Really?
Same kind of thing.
That's come on, man.
Yeah, that's how good you are, man.
So the John Landis thing.
Yeah.
Is, the Twilight Zone. Twilight Zone. They're filming Twilight Zone, okay. And one of the segments is Vic Morrow plays this bigoted kind of guy.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
So he has a flashback that he has to go to Vietnam or whatever and rescue these kids.
Right, right.
And as he's rescuing the kids, the shot where the helicopter comes down, the helicopter actually comes down and decapitates him and the kids.
Because it was on a set and the tail hit the like the top and it jerked the helicopter down.
So when
down,
you see the helicopter the come down, it's actually there and that... Like decapitated,
decapitated Morrow and one of the kids, and then the other kid just straight up, they got crushed.
Yeah.
So then they had to they pressed charge. John Landis almost went to
yeah, we can see that.
To
still released the movie though. Segment was the first segment of the film.
Yeah.
They edited it around. It worked out great.
Here's the thing though, you're making a movie, and the whole reason is like, oh, we're gonna bring up a bunch of charges because it was. They shot it way too late. It was against union rules. The kids were not supposed to be there.
They broke a whole bunch of union rules.
Here's the thing, though. Yes, John Landis is the director, but there's producers, there's PAs. Like, there's 1,000 other people on set.
All who could
John
say
Landis
no.
is not the 100% guy who says absolutely not. Because if you have John Landis doing something, you have 4 guys standing there saying, no, we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. Because if you've ever listened to anything John Landis says, he's got Dan Aykroyd syndrome. We're going to do this and this and this and this and this. We're not doing 3 of those things you just said. Just make the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's 1,000 people in that area, in the immediate five feet of where everybody was standing that could have said no. No one said no. It's not Landis's fault.
But they put him, like, he's
the He was name. The lamb to the slaughter.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Because, who was the main producer on that movie, Chris?
I'm not sure. Was it Spielberg?
Spielberg.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh,
Spielberg is Teflon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
To this day, Spielberg will not talk to Landis.
Really?
Because of that, yeah.
And they did the Spielberg documentary on HBO, and I don't think they even talked about it. Oh,
there's going to be no way they're going to talk about
that. No, that's a straight-up hagiography. It's like, hey, we love you. How you doing? Let's talk about your movies. Yeah, it's not like...
They didn't even bring that... Wow.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The Poltergeist... You've seen Poltergeist. I'm sorry. Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
You see? Another fear of mine was flying thanks to Sir John Lithgow.
So good. He's so good in that segment. He's amazing. He's bug-eyed. Like he's at his bug-eyed. He's like sweatiest ever.
Are there Puerto Rican nights?
So there was times that we would fly from New York to Puerto Rico and stuff like that, and it was a night flight. I couldn't have the window.
You don't have that because of something on the...
Something on the
wind. And you know, when something you're a kid, you can manifest some crap
Dang.
Be happening.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, and have you ever George manifested any crap of your horror stuff? You just have it under control.
I'm 100% like completely skeptic about anything. Like anytime, I always tell a story about whenever people talk about like different ghost hunters, blah blah blah. I always tell a story about when my dad was watching Ghost Hunters when they first came out, and he's like, no, they really use science and they do this. They really talk, they really actually talk about how the ghost could be there. They use EVP and they really try to disprove it. I literally look at the screen as they walk into a room and they're shouting, "Are you there?" And I said, Dad, that's not science. When you're an archaeologist, you don't go into the Grand Canyon and say, how old are you?
Yeah.
So, no, I don't believe any of that stuff. However, okay.
But when you were a kid watching stuff
night
like this.
Terrors and sleep paralysis.
Shut up.
I've had that happen to me multiple times.
It is the worst thing ever. I know night terrors.
The documentary, The Nightmare?
I'm legitimately afraid to watch
it. You probably shouldn't watch it. You probably shouldn't.
You think a relapse?
It's very effective.
It's just like, just thinking about it, like, remind... It's I hate to use the term to PTSD, but it's like even thinking about it, shit. I get choked up and like, oh, it's horrible. It's the worst feeling I've ever had in my life.
So I've heard night terrors. Right. I've heard that. But the paralysis part, sleep paralysis, like, what the f*** is that?
Well, that's where Freddy Krueger came from. He read a story about a kid that suffered from night terrors and would not go to sleep. And he had he literally died of fright. He died of a heart attack because he was just exhausted and was petrified of going to sleep. And they went in his room and they found, sleeping pills, and they had a coffee maker in his closet. Like, he just did not sleep for days on end.
And just slowly killed himself.
And killed himself just from a lack of sleep. What happens is another common thing is it's referred to as the old hag, because when you have sleep paralysis, you're in this in between state where you're awake, your eyes are open, but you cannot move, and you have the shortness of breath. And because you have the shortness of breath, you hallucinate. Mm-hmm. So, and it's always this feeling that someone is watching you. There is no other feeling, there's no other like symptom that I can think of that is 100% consistent with the psychologist. Schizophrenia, it could be weird things like, oh, I see a lion over there, or I see a person over here. With sleep paralysis is
somebody.
I am laying in bed, I cannot move, someone's in the room with me, and they have red eyes and they're staring at me. And the other thing is they're sitting on my chest and suffocating me. Another popular one is there's someone at the edge of the bed wearing a top hat. That is a common. It has happened from multiple accounts.
Very, very Babadookie.
Very Babadookie. Yes.
Putting on the Ritz. Is it Falco?
Yeah. But yeah, you
taco,
can't move.
Taco.
It's Taco. It is Taco. Yeah. Yeah. Falco. Falco. Oh. Yeah, that's okay. It's horrifying. It is the worst feeling I've ever felt.
And a lot of people think that's. They interpret that as a religious thing, as a spiritual thing. So, like, when I was growing up, I remember my cousin, when I was younger, I was like 12,
Papa
13.
Shango coming to see you?
So, I sort of, like, I didn't know about sleep paralysis when I was 12 or 13. So,
Papa Doc?
That happened to my
Baron
cousin.
Sandy.
And he thought it was, like, a demon. It was, the devil was trying to stop him. And he had to, like, he said to himself, like, by the exorcist, by the power of Jesus, blah, 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 that's the sleep paralysis broke. And he attributed it all 100% to a higher being and spirituality and all that stuff. Really, it's a reverse of sleepwalking.
So, for your night terrors and paralysis and stuff like that, is that why you like went into this thing?
Just No. I attribute my love of horror from being a nerd growing up in Cincinnati in the 1980s.
Okay.
It's the heyday of video stores.
Yeah.
I was a single mom growing up. So I spent a lot of time with my grandfather. He would take me, he would like walk me to school and stuff. And my grandfather he loved movies, and he would steal movies. He would go to the movie rental store. He'd rent four of them, get a tape, record all the tapes on one tape, and ship them back. So I would spend hours every day of my life walking up and down the aisles, up and down the aisles. And you can only go through the kids' aisles so many times before you see the same sun-faded Transformers tape.
Yeah.
And then you turn the corner and you see that cover of Dead Alive. And you see Return of the Living Dead, and you see Night of the Living Dead, and you see all these different tapes, and you're like,
the Halloween covers were dope.
There, yeah, the Halloween. You have to this day, if you say a movie, the way I associate it is the cover. It's the VHS. It's the DVD. It's the poster. That's how
Critters. I remember how I watched Critters.
Critters.
It's like, oh, this is bootleg. This is bootleg Gremlins. It's this is dope.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Critters 1 and 2.
Oh yeah,
great.
That's where they jump in the guy in the bunny suit, right? In the Easter suit.
That's Critters 2. That's Critters 2. Easter is Critters 2.
DiCaprio's in 2, right?
Yeah, DiCaprio's in 3.
In 3. Okay.
Yeah.
So 1, 2, and 3.
There's 4.
I don't think I watched 4.
Yeah.
I think I went 3 is the one that was the town kind of thing with DiCaprio.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It 3 is a lot like 1.
And it had the guy that looked like he looked like Mick
like you can't look like Mick Jagger.
Jagger, but wasn't Mick Jagger?
Yeah. Yeah, it was because they had these bounty hunters that came down and they morphed their face, and he watched a music video, which was a legit music video that would play on MTV that they made for Critters, but it would still play on MTV.
That's so funny.
So they would the alien morphed into that rock star's face, fake rock star's face, and he became like
a recurring character. Yeah, we're doing overtime on this. We're going to do a little overtime on this.
Definitely
going to Critters. 80s, because 80s was like, to me, that was like the whole, like I didn't know about Jaws or anything like that until like 80s, obviously.
Right.
But to me, Critters was one of the things, like, yo, this movie's like amazing. And the heyday of the was the peak of the rental,
mm-hmm. yeah,
kind of thing. And then you just be like, "Ah, oh, Critters was let's try this movie."
And they were churning those movies out, and that's one of the things that when I mentioned before the British Film Code, they had what were called video nasties. They would have these companies that would take the movies, put them out on DVD, or put them out on VHS, ship them over to the UK, and you would rent them. And the movies that people would buy up real cheap are these underground, so to speak, horror movies. So you have like movies like Evil Dead and Anthropophagus and you know, Cannibal Holocaust. And you had all these different tapes that would come over and people would rent. But then you have the British Film Board that saw these horror movies that any child can go in and rent these movies and it'll blah, blah, and they lost their minds. So what they shut the movies down, and you would have these stores that, you know, the police would come in and rip all their stuff out and rip all their different tapes out and burn their tapes in the street and all this video and the video nasties. You weren't allowed to watch these movies.
That's the last name.
Yeah, the video nasties.
Video nasty.
Yeah.
Then you mentioned Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. And Dan did something that I would never do. He took a trip to Tennessee.
Yeah.
To go sleep with raccoons.
Mm-hmm. In Morristown, Tennessee, yeah.
Out there.
We went to the park, we went to the forest, and we slept there, yeah.
Here's the thing about Evil Dead is, it was the first one was creepy as hell. Like, mm-hmm. to this day, I still see, like, the needle.
The pencil, yeah.
The pencil going through the heel, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Yeah. But then the second one was sort of like a comedy.
Yes.
Yeah, it definitely was.
What happened there?
They almost remade it.
They had to. Yeah, they didn't have the rights. They didn't have the rights to the first one. They had to remake it.
So what happened there? Is that why they did it?
Yeah. Well, the first part, the very first part of Evil Dead 2 was supposed to be a flashback to the first one, but they didn't have they didn't have the rights to it. It's like, okay, well, in order for this story to work, it picks up right after. We have to show people what it is, so we'll have to just show those scenes again. But we don't have a lot of money, so we're only going to get the girlfriend character to show up, and we'll just mm-hmm. forget about the other stuff that happened. So there's a, I think it was at Horror Hound. Bruce Campbell goes through the entire history of like why all this stupid crap kept happening, because Army of Darkness doesn't have the rights to Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2, so they have to remake that part and do that over.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So each time they would keep doing it. It's like, yeah, but they didn't have the rights, so we had to do it again. So they would go through it every single time. So that's why that happened. And as far as the turn is, they made Evil Dead because it was the way they could make movies. Like, we could sell this movie, get money for it, and then make the movies we want to be. Sam Raimi wanted to be a real family, quote-unquote real filmmaker. Bruce Campbell wanted to be a quote-unquote real actor. Make this trashy horror movie, sell it, get the money to film the next one.
Right.
The problem is they would go and do that, and then they would get screwed over by Hollywood, and they'd be like, okay, we got to make money again. Let's go make a horror movie. Well, we got Evil Dead. Okay, fine, let's remake Evil Dead. And that's why every 10 years, they would go, try to do their thing, Hollywood screw them over, and they go, all right, back to the well. Joe back, do Evil Dead 2. All right, we have some fun. Ah, nope, that didn't work. All right, Army of Darkness. They would keep going back and forth.
Hudsucker Proxy didn't work out, guys.
Wait, but hold on. So who has the rights to Evil Dead?
So now they did. I'm pretty sure they did get back the rights to Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. Universal still has the rights to Army of Darkness,
which is why they can't reference it.
That movie, Universal neutered it. They bad.
Which is why they had a hard time referencing Army of Darkness in the series.
Exactly. Yeah. But Ash vs. Evil Dead is a house at Halloween Horror Nights.
Right.
I'm hoping that part of the licensing from that is a relationship to bring Army
Universal
of Darkness.
Universal is.
Oh, I can't stand them. They piss on their history so much.
Like, I think I still have that movie. I really enjoy.
I love Army of Darkness.
Yeah, it's great.
I prefer Evil Dead 2.
I like Evil Dead
2. Evil Dead 2 is great.
Evil
2
is my favorite horror movie of all time, yeah.
I started watching the series a little bit, but then again, it's just I barely have enough time.
Yeah, I watched like the first four episodes and I liked it. I just haven't.
It's good. Completely.
Yeah,
I gotta be able to like sit down and just binge watch kind of thing.
And with that, it's only 30 minutes per episode. You have to just sit down and watch it all the way through.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do it episode by episode every week.
It's too short, and then
by the time you really get into it, there's like, oh, okay, see you next week. It's like,
I want to be able to churn in like four episodes, exactly. Boom, and then and be out there. Man, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So every 10 years they got to remake. So
it's good for us because we get to see it every. Right.
So is there another? Is there a new movie coming out?
It's a series. I think it was basically
it's a series.
The series was it. In 2000, it was the video games that they went back and got some money out of that, when the comic books and stuff like that. So, you know, if Sam figures out a way to make some money.
I think they had an app, a game.
Yeah, Army Darkness Tower Defense. Right, I was telling Nick, it's a fun game.
Dude, I love that game.
It's a lot of fun.
Okay, what else? Is there anything coming up other than the stupid Monster Avenger movie that they're trying to really shove down people's throat that nobody wants?
We're skipping a whole lot.
We are, dude, but it's
we just, have to. We don't have time. Yeah, no.
We have. Yeah. We can
do horror. We got another.
Let's go through December with this. honestly, dude, you can. Yeah.
I'm down for it. Yeah, because we're still on the 60s.
We're still on the 60s.
We jumped. We're at 70s. 70s. Sorry, we're at 70s.
We haven't even gotten to the 80s.
Yeah, we stopped. Yeah, I didn't even. Thankfully, we didn't mention Rocky Horror Picture Show, so I don't have to get in the
hold
fight with
that. Yeah, yeah. Anything yeah, we didn't on. Mention on that,
we can come back to it.
We can. Yeah, we can. Right. We can. What is it? We can Pulp Fiction this.
Yeah. And just as for stuff that's coming up, that I mean, I'm. I don't really want to say I'm a horror snob, because you can't really watch Chud and think it's a classic and then really be considered a horror snob.
What did you... Let me ask your opinion on this, on It. The new It.
I've never really been a fan of the story just in general.
Okay.
And I just don't really have any desire to watch it.
What is your interest in when you want to see a horror movie? What's something's like, I want to see this?
I kind of cheat, actually. I'm not a huge fan of, like, I don't watch a movie like, everyone's like, oh, I want to watch a scary movie. Like, I don't like that movie. It wasn't scary.
Yeah.
I could give a shit less if it's scary. When it comes to a horror movie, honestly, I want to have fun, because there's a direct correlation between horror and laughter. It's pretty much the same synapses. It's just you kind of go the other way depending upon what leads up to it, because what happens as soon as someone scares you, you start laughing. It's the same thing. So whenever I watch a horror movie and I see, like, when I see someone pick up, you know, a knife and chop off somebody's head and they dance in the street and then fall over, everybody's like, oh my god. If depending upon the movie, I might laugh. Like, My Bloody Valentine 3D, the remake of My Bloody Valentine. There's a scene where there's a lady, she owns the motel. It's this little midget. She walks in the room. She's a midget.
The motel?
She's a little person. Sure. Walks in the room. And the minor, like the minor character with the big pickaxe.
Watch how you talk, okay? Because we got sponsors.
Okay. Yeah, we got Dinklage on next month, so.
Sorry. So this little person comes in, Harry Warden.
You can say
pickaxe.
Midget. Nick, it's
okay. Got a pickaxe. So there's a scene where he literally takes the pickaxe, picks it up under her bottom of her mouth, and pins her to a light. So, like, pick through the bottom of her chin, up to the top of her head, into a light, and she's like vibrating and completely electrifying herself. So it's like, I just watched a man pin a midget to the ceiling and electrify her. I'm in the theater laughing my ass off. Like, it's like, this is Looney Tunes for adults. So when I watch a slasher movie, that's kind of what I go for. One of my favorite horror movies, quote unquote horror movies of all time, is Night of the Creeps. It's fun. It's a throwback. It's a throwback to those 1950s with a bit of with zombie stuff. Same guy that did Monster Squad. Monster Squad's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, that's the kid one, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wolfman's got nards.
What about the guy from Bill and Ted's, Alex?
Alex Winter and Lost Boys?
Freaks?
Freaks. Okay.
Freaked. Yeah, because there's Freaks with Todd Browning, also right, directed Dracula. And then Freaked, which has actually Keanu Reeves in it, in an uncredited role.
Did he play like a werewolf or something like that? Okay. Here's one. This is the only movie that I would say is the most current. And it's a new kind of. To me, it's like a new style, but it was like a little homage to every single horror thing out there. Cabin in the Woods.
I love Cabin in the Woods.
Love that movie.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Love that movie. It's one of those movies that I regret that I did not go see it at the movie theater. Yeah.
Yes. Bradley Whitford's so good in it. Like, just.
I want a whole series.
And Richard Jenkins, him and
I want a whole series of just those guys.
Just those guys.
I don't know why there was, you know how they do
I want
like
a prequel
little,
so bad.
Web series, those Marvel web series kind of things, where just like random things happen. I don't know why there weren't 10 of them before the movie came out. Yeah. I mean, I know why, because it would have ruined the quote unquote twist, which I wish I didn't know what I knew going into that movie. I wish I would have went into it cold.
Oh, you knew about it?
Oh, man, that
sucks. I knew a little bit of it.
I knew nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah, I'll give this movie.
I had no idea. I thought I was watching the wrong movie at first. I was like, this was a horror movie. I'm like, why am I watching Old West Wing? What's going on here?
So once in my life, I got a chance. We were talking about vampire movies, and I mentioned From Dusk Till Dawn. And okay. Like, I've never seen From Dusk Till Dawn. Do you know what it is? Oh, no, I've never heard of it. Okay. So we watch From Dusk Till Dawn. And the entire first part, it's one of the best Tarantino movies ever never made.
Yes.
It's the Tarantino script. It's fantastic. You've got George Clooney and Tarantino playing off each other perfectly.
Yeah.
Michael Parks comes in. It's
you
fantastic.
Want me to fuck you?
Yeah. It's so good.
I'll do that for you.
Then they get to the titty twister.
I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah,
that's fine. If you can find better pussy.
Exactly. You go through that whole scene. It's, they're watching. They're like, okay, I don't like. They totally this forgot it was a vampire movie.
Yeah.
Someone goes through a window, turn around. Oh my God, it's a snake vampire. He's like, what the? He freaked the hell out. He's like, what just happened? And I'm falling on the floor laughing. It was one of the greatest cinema experiences. It was in my living room, but it was one of the greatest movie watching experiences I've ever had in my life. It's like, you had no idea this was coming.
No.
I'm so jealous of you.
Yeah.
I knew the reason I went to see it as a kid was, oh, vampire strippers. Of course.
Yeah.
But I had no idea. I was so jealous of him that he got to see
oh,
it.
Oh, that's so cool.
Having that twist, huge twist.
What the what? Yeah. That's how I felt with Cabin in the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought it was like something in the woods. And same thing you said. It's like, why are they in an
right. Yeah, I had no you're expecting Cabin Fever,
it.
Basically.
I was totally lost on what this was at first.
Movie, before we go, last thing okay. I'll ask, and then we'll wrap this up. Movie that you had high expectation, and then it just like, I'm done with this. I'm not gonna.
Come back to me on that one.
Okay.
Ask them, because honestly, I know I've got a good one, but I got to think about it.
Like, you thought it was like, oh, this is going to be... Oh.
It's hard for me, because I'm not a real horror guy, so I'm not really going to horror films... In the first place.
Yeah, I don't go to horror films.
Expecting something. You know, I'm expecting to hate it and appease my wife at the same time. So that's usually why I walk into those. But it would probably be the new Wan films. Sinister was a totally big disappointment to me.
Okay.
Because I was like, all right. And how I knew it was a disappointment is I was able to sit through the whole thing. And I'm a pussy when it comes to horror film. I sat through the whole thing.
It's hilarious.
And man. I didn't have to get up. I didn't have to move my eyes or anything. And so I was like, okay, so this movie obviously sucks then because I'm sitting through it.
That's a great trailer. It's a shit movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The trailer's fantastic.
So I was like, oh, cool. I heard, you know, some good things. And I was like, the trailer looks scary. Let's give it a try. Nope. I was like,
and it's a fun Twilight Zone-y ending. That's about
yeah.
it. That's about it.
But it's, then I can just watch the Twilight Zone.
Yes. Get the same effect in 30 minutes.
Right. Or less.
I'm not a huge fan of nihilistic endings, though, which I think is another reason I really hate John Carpenter.
I like my good guys winning.
I do, too. Like when it comes to horror,
you like
horror
the bad is guys an extension winning?
Of fantasy. I like my good guys winning. I like a little... Even if you want to trail off, I'll be back. That's fine, but I need my heroes to win.
Yeah.
I like the bad guy. Some like I... what is it? The Professional? Okay. To me, Gary Oldman won.
Well, yeah.
He won.
Yeah.
I like movies with... You know what I mean? Like, kind of like Cabin in the Woods ending was great.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And it was kind of like, oh, okay, this is, all right, cool.
That's fine.
Like we were saying before, you got actors that nobody really knew. So it kept you in the edge kind of things. Like, anything can really happen because these are no big budget kind of things. But if it was like, you know, if it was Jamie Foxx in a movie or any, you know, Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Anything like that, then it's like, ah, that thing's going to happen.
That's another movie that sat on a shelf for a while, too. So it would have been even more effective because Chris Hemsworth was in it.
Yeah.
So that movie would have been even more effective had it gone out before, because this was right around the whole Thor stuff.
Yeah.
So if it would have come out before then, I think it would have been even more effective for that reason.
Yeah.
I think because of the whole Thor thing, that's why it was able to be released. But I think it would have been more effective. I think you're definitely right with that. Because you would have been like, oh, anything can happen to these guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, I'm like, when we were talking the episode before, just put anybody in it. The monsters would speak for themselves.
Exactly.
Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Man, we got to do this again, dude. Okay. Because we didn't even tap into...
We got plenty. We can do it again. I mean, we're going to need to fill time next October, too, so we can always finish it up then.
We'll stop at the 70s now and join us in 2018.
Yeah. Join us in 2018, guys, for the rest of this.
I do have an answer before we go.
Okay.
Movie that I honestly thought I was really going to like, and just it did not click with me, and I still get weird looks, especially from him. The Lost Boys. Do not like The Lost Boys. For whatever reason, just something doesn't click with me. I love Fright Night. Fright Night is one of my favorite movies.
Lost Silver Bullet? Do you like Silver Bullet?
I like Silver Bullet.
Yeah.
It's Gary Oldman and Corey... Or not Gary Oldman. No, Gary Busey. God, that's a totally different movie.
Yeah.
Wow, how great would that movie have been? It's Gary Busey and Corey Haim in a wheelchair.
But you didn't like Lost Boys.
Did not like Lost Boys. Great soundtrack. Fantastic soundtrack.
Probably my favorite... One of my favorite movie soundtracks, just compilation all together.
That movie was so dope.
Just didn't like it.
Sexy Sax Man. I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
Came from.
And I didn't even. It wasn't that I saw Fright Night first. I saw Fright Night after Lost Boys. So it's not like, oh, I see Fright Night and then it ruins it.
Yeah, because
that happens a lot too. I do that a lot. Like with Insidious, everyone's like, oh my god, Insidious is great. Insidious is great. No, it's not. It's Poltergeist. Only it sucks.
We didn't even get to talk about Poltergeist.
We didn't get to Poltergeist. We didn't do Hellraisers. We didn't do a lot of stuff.
Stephen King.
No Kings. We got Creepshow and Tales from the Crypt coming. Yeah, we got plenty.
Yeah, yeah. No. We're doing this.
We're doing this.
We're doing this again. I'm sorry, people, but we're gonna go. We'll be back. Just like Universal Studios.
You know what? We'll bring it back around Valentine's Day. We'll do a February thing.
I was gonna say let's do the next episode. We're just gonna do Halloween a little bit past October.
If you want to, we can do that too.
There's nothing going on in November.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. We'll talk. We got to do this again.
We're doing a whole episode on Squanto. Let's just keep talking about horror movies.
Might as well do the Salem Witch Trials. It's Thanksgiving-y.
Yeah.
So we go there.
There we go. We'll wrap this up.
Okay.
All right, guys. Listen, just like always, thank you so much for listening to the show. Send us email if you enjoyed the show. Did not any comments, critics, concerns. Send it to devilsinthedetailsshow@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Follow us on Twitter @TheDevilsDeets. You can follow me @RicanGorilla at Twitter.
Right.
Dan P. Comedy on Twitter. Nick, you got it. Nick?
ModerateLinito.net. Just go to that. Go to that link.
Yeah.
And what's that one again?
ModerateLinito.net.
What's Linito mean?
Moderately Neato. It's my YouTube series.
YouTube
channel. Yeah.
So we'll jump on that.
If you ever want to see a collaboration by Nick and I, you can always see FSCW and follow us there.
There you go. Plug it, baby.
FSC Wrestling on Twitter.
Plug it. Yeah, we got to talk about wrestling, too, because I don't know if Dan told you, but I do apologize for yelling, sweep the leg.
Oh, it's all right.
Stole the thunder from the crease.
I really, that place was so quiet, and me and my kid were having so much fun. I just remember looking inside and just Nick. But then Dan tells me, yeah, Nick just looks upset all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's my job.
Yeah.
I didn't even hear you. I was just television, like, just go home. Just take it home, boys. We got to go.
Yeah. When they went fighting on the outside, like, damn it. Mm-hmm. They went outside, all I saw Nick take is, what are they doing? What are they doing?
Yep. Nick smiles after the show.
Maybe. So
for the most part, people come like, how was my match? And for the show, like, oh, it was good. I really liked it. And then maybe I'll come back later and be like, hey, maybe next time we do this, the very first time, he's like, what'd you think, bro? I'm like, do not ever go on the outside ever again. Just immediately yelled at him.
Put the title on the Raptor.
And what did he do this weekend?
He went outside again.
They did go on the outside.
And the stage dive and everything.
Every single time.
No, the
stage you're allowed to do.
I don't
care if you go on the out of the ring. Go out of the ring. That's fine. We have barriers. Do not go over the barriers.
Yep.
That is a liability.
And they went over the barriers.
No one can see it. We don't have camera guys. Don't do that.
Put the strap on the Raptor.
We can do an FSCW show too. We can talk about that. We can talk wrestling.
Follow us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Tune in. Support the channel, people.
All of these shows are so good.
Follow the channel on Facebook, PFT Media. Big shout out to all the shows, our brothers in podcasting out there. Thank you, Crespo, for giving us the forum. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time. Until then.
Waiting on you, Beyonce.
Thank you. Good night. You've been terrific, really. Love you. Thank you for being so special tonight. And putting up with the rain. And putting up with us.
A PFT Media production.